And as in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, "Come and Pray in Us, Holy Spirit."
Holy Spirit. Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Logos, and Immanent Holy Spirit, your divine indwelling. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Anna, and I'm sitting in for Barbara. I am going to read the announcement straight from the announcements today without going rogue this morning. That's my aim. Let's see. The insert in your bulletin lists all the current and upcoming events. Be sure to look at both sides. They can also be found on the bulletin board in the fellowship hall and also on the website at consciousharmony.org. Our next half-day centering prayer retreat will be held on Saturday, July 15th from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. The cost is $10. No need to pre-register. Our next Introduction to Centering Prayer course will be held on Saturday, July the 22nd from 8:30 a.m. to 3:15 p.m. The cost is $75 and lunch is included. The class will meet on Saturday and then for six consecutive Thursday evenings at 6 to 7:30 p.m. This is a seven-week course informing a centering prayer practice if you do not have one or would like to renew your practice. We are now taking reservations for our August 14th to 23rd 10-day centering prayer retreat to be held at Cedar Break in Belton, Texas. Please see the office for more information. This is the only way I know how to take a vacation for myself. And you all know when we're in that silence, no longer is the personality present. The observer gets to be in the front. I did go rogue, didn't I? As part of our ministry, CCH collects non-perishable food items to be donated to our local area food bank. Please bring your donations next Sunday, July 2nd. There will be a collection table near the kitchen. Heart of Texas Contemplative Outreach is offering a Centering Prayer Presenter Formation training from August 17th to the 23rd. Please go to their website or contact David Wallace if you're interested. If this is your first time to the Church of Conscious Harmony, please stop by the welcome table in the fellowship hall after service. If you would like more information about the church, someone there will be answering questions. There are literatures to take home or just to begin a dialogue. Actually, I think the welcome table is just right across the bridge. And now Tim has a message for us.
Didn't go rogue, it wouldn't be the Church of Conscious Harmony. That's one of the things I love about this community, is the spontaneity and the presence of the Spirit in Christ lead us into experiences of sharing that nobody plans on. And I love it when people go rogue. One of the things about this church in building it was that all that you see in supports are non-standard. They aren't measured, they aren't the exact same width, they're not the exact same shape. So when we were putting this up, every night we had to fabricate the steel connectors for the next day because you couldn't plan in advance how they were going to be. So there was one of the construction supers that did trigonometry, and then he'd go down to the guy that did the steel, and the next day he'd be back with all these connectors that fit the next level. And this went on like this. And you notice crooked bricks down the pathway, and you notice perfect people. But see, that's what's perfect, is simple presence, extraordinary consciousness of God's love in ordinary human beings. It's not about excelling and climbing some mountain of victory. It's about going down into ordinariness deeply enough to discover God waiting for us there. It's we who have been working so hard to keep ourselves above what we presume to be below. But the scripture on Wednesday was, my burden is easy, or Friday, my burden is easy, or my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It takes very little to belong to God. But that little, that simplicity, costs us everything. Because we've learned to be not simple. We've been conditioned, formed. Anna used the word about a centering prayer, formation. Well, as little kids, we're formed. Formed into the model of our culture, formed into the model of the times, formed into models, in this case, of technology and ever-increasing speed. But that formation, if we notice, has not brought us health or happiness or joy or peace or security or any of the things that seem promised implicitly by that formation. And so we're left with this deep hunger, which becomes addictions, that we reach out of ourselves to try to fill the gap, try to fill that hole. I've certainly practiced my share of them, and they didn't lead anywhere but to more pain. I put the pain off for a little bit, but then the pain got worse, and it took more of whatever I was doing at the time to get the same level of result. You know the game. In the end, it doesn't work, and the bills have to be paid anyway. The feelings have to be felt anyway. And then we find, oh, it's not that I have to feel them, I get to. Because in feeling my human experience, in feeling what sometimes is called the shadow, in integrating the shadow, that feeling of otherness down below my neck, in integrating that into a whole new self, I find Christ. He wasn't asking me to be different. He was asking me to discover the being that I always already am, that you already always are. It's in being, but we're kind of caught in doing. And the whole spiritual journey is to find our way back into that pure being, that simple awareness, that simple loving awareness that you see in the face of a baby, and that happens in most of the people who look at babies. You look at a baby, it's like, ooh. What happened? You got transported into reality for a minute. We got out of our heads for a minute. So I want to share a tool that I was given some years ago and how that tool has evolved a bit as I've grown. But one of the very first tools I used and learned was from an Eastern teacher, one of the greatest saints of all time, Sri Ramana Maharshi of Tiruvannamalai, India. I saw his picture on the face of a book in 1968, and I saw those eyes, and I could hardly believe what I was seeing. Because I wasn't seeing it from my head. Something quickened in me when I saw those eyes. Something that I wanted and didn't know how to get. Something I'd been trying to get through alcohol and football and all kinds of other things. It wasn't working. Okay, women too. But the Maharshi taught a system called of self-inquiry. Self-inquiry. Now, in self-inquiry, and there are bunches of different ones you can use, but the process of self-inquiry is not looking for a stated answer. It's stating the question so that one kind of sees how things are. And so the Maharshi's self-inquiry was, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Now, as you get a little space interiorly, and begin to get a little deeper, you begin to be aware of the series of thoughts that are constantly going through the mind, suggesting this, avoiding that, I'm going to say this, she said that, this isn't fair, well, I'll straighten it out, and on it goes. And then there are all these feelings of revulsion, resistance, or attraction. So out of all of this, who am I? Well, I asked that question on and off about 7 years, but those were the 7 years of my dark night of the soul. And I wasn't asking from the deepest possible place. I was more like somebody trying to achieve something. If I find out who I am, then I'll be this yogi. Well, there was never any answer, because there really wasn't anybody asking. But when times got desperate and things began to fall apart for me, I started doing self-inquiry in earnest. And one day I was walking down the street in Denver, Colorado, and I asked in earnest, "Who am I?" And I heard a voice, not my own, say, "Who's asking?" And it stunned me. I had always felt alone in the universe before. And now a voice that wasn't my voice, or at least not coming from the me I knew, had given me an instruction and an answer. Because the answer can't come, "Oh, Tim from South Dillon Way in Aurora, Colorado." Anything with a name or a form has nothing to do with our identity. Names and forms appear in time and disappear in time. They attract us for a moment and then they disappear. The eternal you, the eternal me, is always here and always has been. And so when I heard "Who's asking?", I knew that if I could find that aspect of me that really wanted to know, I would be finding the truth. Not in Tim's actions, his bad actions, the things he didn't like about himself, or the excellences that he attributed to himself. Who's asking? It was my spirit that wanted to know. It was my soul that was hungry to know. And I knew that if I found the answer to that question as an experience, I'd be where I was hungry to be, where I'd been shown a person could be in my first awakenings. I had a touch of the spirit, and for several weeks, wide awake and alive. Another touch opened my heart, and I loved everybody, and then it went underground. 7 years. Kind of changed me, but kind of didn't. But it was when desperation set in, and I began to ask in earnest, "Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?" that each time the inquiry came, the answer reaffirmed itself. "I'm your spirit. I'm spirit." Last week, we read from Bernadette Roberts' book, The Real Christ. And since you've come back this week, I guess it was okay. So I thought we'd take it up another notch. See how much we can stand. None of us were born with a self. Nobody is born with a self. A self is an acquisition that occurs through our formation in the cultural context of our time, through education, emulation, and teaching. Self separates us from the mass. It pulls us back into an individual unit. And as that individual unit, we begin to be concerned for survival. My way, my people, my kind. Baby didn't know that. Baby didn't know who was good and who was bad. Baby's just being a baby. General loving awareness. No shape or form of identifier. No name. Just life. Life appearing and cajoling the rest of us into a momentary release from our cramp of self. Because self is a cramp. It's a hold back. And you can feel it when you're feeling too shy, or you can feel it when you feel like it said too much, or I used to be concerned because I spoke so loudly. I'm just kind of loud. And I never liked my dad because he was loud. Well, here I am. It's that part of me that doesn't like it. That grip, that's the self. It's trying to be me. And it's setting me apart from all others. Now, one of the things we've heard every week since this church began was when we dedicate the tithes and offerings, we dedicate them to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Separation is a lie. There is no separation. There is no separation between us and the earth. There is no separation between us and the other peoples of the earth. There is no separation between life and other forms of life. Life is life. And though it appears and manifests in infinite forms, and its human forms of expression are many, it remains one life, and in our case, one human life. We use the example that Jesus used in the Gospel of John, I am the vine, you are the branches. So where is that vine? That vine was what said, who's asking? We called it in reading from Bernadette last week, the universal human. The universal man. Jesus called it the Son of Man. But you can't leave the Son of Man locked up in the person of Jesus somewhere else in history or on some other planet. The Son of Man was made generally available to humanity through that incarnation because we had an example on the stage of history looking us right in the face like a mirror and telling us who we are. Who we are. Children of God. None better, none worse, equalized in the human condition. All in, this isn't going to work on many of you young ones, but we're all bozos on this bus. Some of us older ones remember the fire sign theater. But in a way, we are all bozos. We're just human beings in the human condition. The question is, in the midst of the human condition, with all these human beings being so human, how do I learn to experience, not hear about, I'm the Son of God, the Son of Man in me is the Son of God. How do I get to experience that as my daily, ordinary way of expressing life in the world? How do I get by this, I don't like that, I don't want that, I gotta have that, he's in, she's out. That's self-bound stuff. See, the self is made of reflections, mental reflections, images and thoughts. Remember I said names and forms? Anything that's got a name or a form is not what we're looking for when we're looking for who's asking. The self only reflects mental images and contracts its body. Can you feel the contraction on your body? Just try to relax it. Just try to let it go. It doesn't do it. You get into centering prayer and you realize, oh my God, it really doesn't want to let go. I'm always a little like this and I'm trying to do it right. Shh, God says, shh, I'm with you. I'm your loving awareness. I'm the loving awareness that you are. Okay, I'll try to get to you. This is an elevated form of letting, a very active passivity, a yesing emotionally in the heart, a yesing to life as it is, as I'm appearing in it as I am. The affirmation of our existence happens every minute of every day. God is asserting us, beating our hearts, breathing us, lighting our minds. Do we have a right to be here? We are here. The question is, how far are we here? Have I withdrawn into a self that reflects on its own narcissistic tendencies, looking always in a mirror of mental reflections and projecting those reflections onto others? Or have I found my way back into my heart where I find the true self as genuine, loving awareness, just loving awareness, like the baby that didn't have a self yet. Loving awareness bears the whole world with equanimity, bears the whole world with everybody dressed like they are, acting like they do, with this history and that history and this reputation and that reputation. None of that matters. Those are conditions. Conditions are the outer world. Conditions are what we see around us, read in the newspaper, hear from other people. Oh yeah, conditions. And they light up conditions within us, echoes of those conditions, and trains of thought start. Negative emotions happen. The moving center clamps down. But what we're being offered is to live as the condition of conditions. The whole world is floating in an ocean of perfect love. What? You call this perfect love? Well, that's where you live, I guess. But I live in the condition of conditions, where Christ offers us our own real lives to live in the condition of all conditions. As the witness, as the conscious bearer of both this human incarnation that I call Tim, and all the incarnations of the human species that I see as you, there is no other. There is no other. When I look at you, I'm seeing myself. And when you look at me, you're seeing yourself. And that's all there is to that. The game of self has led the world to the brink of collapse. The game of me first, me, 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 has led us into a culture of incapacity for intimacy. We're so bound up in self that it's collapsing the world. Now, is this a problem? Not if you live in the condition of conditions, because if you drop into that condition of loving awareness, if you learn to fall down into it, learn to notice the things that take us out of that condition, we begin to be part of the answer. Because when we're conscious, we are living from wisdom. When we experience ourselves as loving awareness, we cease to put karmic wrinkles into the fabric of society. Gossip just doesn't bother to come anymore. Resistance to the images in the news doesn't happen anymore. Why? It's always been that way. Read Ecclesiastes. It's exactly as it was, exactly as it will be. It's when people wake up from it that the change happens. And that awakening is a gradual process, and for that reason it's difficult for Westerners in our time to embody it, because we want results now. And that's what centering prayer is about. It gives us experiences, incontrovertible experiences, that there's more than the thinking part, more than the emotionally resistant and negative part, more than the part that's afraid of intimacy. As Barbara and I got closer and closer, I got to see that I used to think she was afraid of intimacy. I got to see it was me. I don't know about her, that's her business. But I could say I had plenty to work on to open my heart to her fully. Not just the part that was convenient to my likes and dislikes, but I got to learn to bear another human being in all their humanness, just as they are. Because I had been graced to learn to live in the condition of conditions, to see beyond the moment. Because the moment and all these so-called conditions are caught in time. They have names and forms, they come and they will go. But there's a part of every moment that's eternal, a part of every experience that's never ending. It is the now Christ, the right now embodiment of the light of God that is manifesting each of our bodies and each of our minds, and will respond to our call if that call is sincere. So it was only when I finally got desperate that I was able to really call out, who am I? And I didn't get an answer, oh, you're Tim Cook. I got, oh, there isn't an answer in a concept, because I'm a spirit. God is a spirit. And man, created in his image and likeness, is a spirit. You can't see a spirit. There's no answer to the question, who am I, in the context of a two-dimensional life in the cause and effect world of duality, because we live in eternity. We are alive as eternity, and our quote-unquote fallen, I hate the word, but it's what it is, fallen condition leaves us addicted to names and forms as a way of feeling like who we are, like somebody. But it's in the abandonment of that identity that the fullness of the quality of Christ comes into our lives. And we know what he means when he says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. We know what it means when he says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So the scripture for today is from the 10th chapter of Matthew. And he's speaking to his disciples. And I want to be real clear about this. There are three classes of people to whom Jesus addresses himself. The first class is the crowd. The crowd. The second class is the authorities, the spiritual authorities, the religious authorities. He never bothers with the Romans except to heal their children, their servants. And then there's the disciples. Three classes of beings to whom three levels of teaching are addressed. So when he's talking to the crowd, it's a general advice. When he's talking to the authorities, it's like, you guys don't get it. And when he's talking to his disciples, he's saying, put your foot right there, and put your foot right there, and put your foot right there, and you'll walk. Okay? Now, lest we think that's all occurring outside somebody, that whole process is going on within the individual. The Christ, the truth in us, is right down the center in the ray of creation, the here-now liveness of us. The disciples are those kinds of thoughts in us that are starting to get it, that are really catching on. There's another class of thoughts in us that's just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious authorities, and they're the ones that know that they've got it pretty well handled. Do a little self-observation. I offer you yourself. And then the crowd. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Do you have a crowd? Of course you have a crowd. The question is, where is my feeling of I going to be put? Where is my sense of self? Is it in the crowd? Is it in the authorities inside me? You ought to do this. You shouldn't do that. Or is it in the spirit, which I can't even see myself because I am it? When you look in the mirror, you can't see your spirit. Nobody's ever seen your spirit. Nobody's ever seen a spirit. A spirit is eternal. Manifestations of the spirit appear in time. So our appearance in the world does not necessarily mean that we have to be of it. We can appear in it with the same freedom that Christ did. The freedom that he was offering his disciples when he spoke in the 10th chapter of Matthew, telling them the first thing he said in this little discourse, don't be afraid. Do not worry about who can kill the body. There's no problem with that. You're the eternal life. Take no anxious thought for what you'll eat and drink and what you'll wear. The flowers are doing fine and so are the birds. You're okay. But you've got to liberate your attention. So here's what he's saying to the disciples. And this is Eugene Peterson's message, the message. It's a colloquial, not even a translation, kind of a transliteration. Don't be intimidated. And he's speaking about conditions. If we're in a rapidly changing time, when all the things we thought were valuable and all the things we thought were solid are disappearing under our feet, don't be intimidated. Do you hear that from your crowd? Do you hear that from your religious authority? Or can you hear it from your disciple? Because the center of your own being is speaking to you now. Don't be intimidated. Eventually, everything is going to be out in the open. Everyone will know how things really are. So don't hesitate to go public now. Now, I used to hide my light under a bushel. I was embarrassed that I was a spiritual being because the people I hung with weren't like this. And so I had all these magazines and books around, and when friends would come over to the house, I would hide them. I was embarrassed that there was God. Don't be intimidated. See, I was a beginner. I was just learning. And this is how you learn. You see the things you do and you realize how silly that is. Don't be bluffed into silence by the threats of bullies. There's nothing they can do to your soul, your core being. Save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, body and soul, in His hands. And again, bullies are in here. Oh, you're such a schmuck. Oh, you're such a jerk. How dare you think you're free? How dare you think you're enlightened? How you? Do you know what I'm talking about? That's the liar and the father of lies. That's his voice and his fingerprints. What's the price of a pet canary? Some loose change, right? And God cares what happens to it even more than you do. He pays even greater attention to you, down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. So don't be intimidated by this bully talk. You're worth more than a million canaries. Now listen, again, this is coming through a man in history called Jesus, but it's not coming from him. It's coming through him. And what was speaking through him is in you and me right now. And it's talking to us. Stand up for me against world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. If you turn tail and run, how can you think I'll cover for you? When the conditions make us abandon our center, the center can't cover for us. We've abandoned it. We've betrayed the centeredness of us. To please somebody, to look good, to acquire some things and hang on to them, all of which are names and forms appearing in the world of time and which necessarily will pass away, probably before we want them to. We might pass away long before we expect to. So here's the world doing what the world does because of what selves have already always done. But now in the person of Bernadette Roberts, we've got a witness. This is something we just heard about in a book. This isn't something our ancestors passed down to us. That person has stood in this place, has taught in this place, has been here bunches of times, has had a tremendous relationship with us. No self. There's no self. One time I was in a retreat with her, listening, because she, you know, she burns my brain cells. Because I'm all conditioned. I'm formed to be a two-dimensional person in a cause and effect dualistic world. So I finally said, are you saying there is no individual? And she said, there is no individual. There is Christ. So this idea that I'm an individual can persist with us until the day when we put the body down, and we're not going to take all that stuff with us. The call of the spiritual journey is, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to who? Jesus in history? No, Christ in our hearts. Come to your heart, and I will give you rest. Come to your heart, and you will know who you are. Come to your heart, and you will see your heart everywhere and in everyone. Well, what's it going to cost me, Lord? Oh, my worries, my concerns, my judgments, my fears about not enough, my fears about nobody likes me. Wow, that's a lot. Sounds really hard. I think I'll wait. There's the word kairos, K-I-R-O-S. It means the appropriate moment, the decisive moment, the moment when everything is right. Well, I think this is a wonderful moment to be alive because we're running out of the capacity to ever hope that the world, in the political, social, economic way, is going to change. Because it's just not. What changes The world is people who allow themselves to be changed by God and who will to be bloomed into the fullness of the rose of Christ as loving awareness, simple loving awareness. Oh, won't that be boring? God, just simple loving awareness. Give me a break. What will we do? Sitting on a harp in heaven and, you know, in a cloud. Simple loving awareness. Oh, great. You know, I could say that I'm a simple loving awareness junkie. My guru, Nityananda, used to say, some people are meditation freak. Or no, some people are television freak. I am meditation freak. I was very attracted to that. But, you know, it was hard to be that quiet for a while. But the process is inexorable. It's like water on a rock. When you see all that sand on the beach, that was rocks. That was rocks. And the water, seemingly soft, just kept washing against it and washing against it. And sand came out. Well, those parts of us that seem hard, if they're simply exposed to the light of God's love and brought into the experiences, the conditions of life in that love, it wears them down. It wears them out. It washes them away. And gradually, oh so gradually, there's an interpenetration of the presence of God within us. The active, real, literal, eternal life within us begins to interpenetrate our personality. And it comes down into our bodies. And we get out of our heads where these messages, these speeches are constantly telling us what we need to know and think and do. And back into our bodies and our hearts where this simple, attentive, loving awareness tells us exactly who we are and who we always have been. And who everybody else is, whether we notice it or not. So I remember when I used to have to go meditate. Oh, God, I've got to go meditate. 20 minutes, wow, that's really hard. Whew, glad it's over. Peak 3 or 4 times, is over yet? I was not yet meditation freak. but you know, the stakes are literally, not figuratively, literally, life and death. I'm alive when I'm like that baby, simple loving awareness. And I'm dead as toast when I'm caught in Tim and all his concerns and his thoughts and his worries and his likes and his dislikes and his fears of intimacy. All of that's nothing and less than nothing. It's conditions. They're gone. Like all the generations before us. But here sit the seed of Christ in every one of these seats, waiting for a declaration of what's valuable. What is it I want most? What is it? How can I hierarchically arrange my value system so that I actively seek that which will be most beneficial to my God, my world, my human family, and lastly, myself? We will always be led by the Holy Spirit to real and true answers if we ask honest, deep, felt questions and really want answers. Who am I? Do a little self-inquiry. Maybe that'll be our assignment for this week. Let's do some self-inquiry. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Change my ways, I am lost.
thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true child. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee abide. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my
Now is the time in our service we share in centering prayer, sitting comfortably with our back straight. We close our eyes and consent to God's presence and action within. Centering prayer is an opening of our minds and hearts to God beyond thoughts, words, and emotions. It is simply resting in the presence of God. As we prepare to enter the silence, I invite you to listen to the words of Kabir. Breath. Are you looking for me? I am in the next seat. My shoulder is against yours. You will not find me in stupas, not in Indian shrine rooms, not in synagogues, nor in cathedrals, not in masses, nor curtains, not in legs winding around your own neck, nor in eating nothing but vegetables. When you really look for me, you will see me instantly. You will find me in the tiniest house of time. Kabir says, student, tell me, what is God? He is the breath within the breath. Please join me in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that feeds us. And we do it in the spirit of God's endless, infinite, abundant supply for every particle of His creation. Knowing this truth, we take our tithes and offerings in our hands and we bless them with our knowledge of reality. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, how blessed we are when we simply remember God in His presence. Amen. Awake now to God's infinite presence. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. Here's Father Thomas reminding us again of the profundity of the Eucharistic service. In the Eucharist, we are not only joined to Christ, whom we believe is present with his whole being under these symbols of bread and wine, but we believe that we are joined with all other Christians, with every member of the human race, and with the whole of creation. Christ is in the hearts of all men and women, and in the heart of all creation, sustaining everything in being. This mystery of oneness enables us to emerge from the Eucharist with a refined inward eye, and invites us to perceive the mystery of Christ everywhere and in everything. He who is hidden from our senses and intellect becomes more and more transparent to the eyes of faith, to the consciousness that is being transformed. The Spirit in us perceives the Spirit in others. The Eucharist is the celebration of life, the dance of the divine in human form. We are part of that dance. Each of us is a continuation of Christ's incarnation insofar as we are living Christ's life in our own lives, or rather instead of our own lives. The Eucharist is the summary of all creation coming together in a single hymn of praise, surrender, and thanksgiving. In the Eucharist, all creation is transformed again into his divine person and thrust into the depths of the Father forever and ever. Even material creation has become divine in him. Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
please join us in singing our communion song, Abba.
And you are in him.
of your hands.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one, in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Well, let's stand for Amazing Grace. hear our prayer. We thank you for reminding us of what we are, that we are your ever-present loving awareness, and so is everybody else. Amen.